Yes, give us a call, 1353 53, your heroes and villains for this Monday morning. And just on the PGA Tour, the John Deere Classics just concluded, and JT Poston, American player ranked 99 in the world, he's won that with a score of 21 under par. He's won by 3 shots, beating the South African Christian Bresidenhout and Emiliano Grillo of Argentina. Best of the Aussies, Cam Davis, 15 under for the tournament, 6 shots off the pace. So Cam Davis finishes tied for 8th in that John Deere Classic. We've got Joe on the line. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Yeah, pretty well, thanks, mate.
Good to have you back.
Oh, good to be nice back. Joe, I'll tell you what, though, mate. Walking back into this weather hasn't been great, though.
No, not a good one. Mate, just want to talk about Balmain Tigers and why in hell they won't take on Shane Flanagan.
So what was that? Sorry, Joe.
Yeah, I just want to know why they won't take on Shane Flanagan.
Oh, why?
I
don't know. I can only assume that it's to do with why he was deregistered from the game.
Okay.
That's the only reason I can think of. Otherwise, why wouldn't you look at a guy like Shane Flanagan? Because he's had success there at Cronulla.
Yep.
And, you know, he's been able to build a club. His detractors would point to the fact that, you know, even when he was suspended, he was still getting involved where he shouldn't have. And, you know, we all know what happened there when he was in charge with the club in regards to the peptide issue. But I think he's paid a price. He spent his time out of the game. He's now back working in the NRL. I think he should be treated like everyone else. And that is, if a job becomes available, he put his name forward. And I think if he got an interview, I think he would be an excellent choice for anyone.
Well, the thing is with him, look, this mob at Balmain don't know which end's up at the moment. This bloke here, whoever takes him on, is going to get a very good coach.
Yeah.
And it'll prove them all wrong. The bloke can do the job. Balmain has got some good juniors coming through. He's the perfect fit. So I don't know who's running the club out there, but it's all ordinary.
Mm. Yeah, Joe, I can only assume, mate, it's because of he's passed, but again, it certainly wouldn't concern me. I think he's done his time out of the game. He's now back working in the media. He's doing a little bit with the Dragons. I think he'd be an excellent coach. He's proven that with the Sharks. I think he would have learnt a lot in his time out. You know, when you've been a coach at that level, you know, and you're spending time on the sideline, you just don't sit there idle on your hands and not think about the game and think about what you can do better. He'd be looking for another opportunity. He'd be determined to get another opportunity, and I reckon he'd be a lot better for it.
Thanks for the call, Joe. Morning, Steve.
Yeah, g'day, lads. How we going?
Yeah, pretty good. Thanks, mate. For a Monday, yourself?
Oh, beautiful down here.
Well, it's certainly not here.
I know. I can see that. I can see that on the television. It's looking pretty average up your way.
Yeah, average to say the least. And the poor people who have had to cop it, what, 3 times this year around the Nepean and Hawkesbury's and the Georges River areas. Yeah, you've got to be feeling for them this morning.
My sister's on the Carlo.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah, up the Hawkesbury way. So
yeah, and I just got a text from her then, and all she said was, "This is very character building."
Oh, I could imagine.
Heroes and villains, boys. Hero, Joy Opataya. Just an amazing, amazing effort. That whole car on Saturday night was a really good car.
Did you see, actually, Loz, the head splitter, Isaac Hart? Did you see?
He won well.
He knocked the bloke. It was a scary knockout.
Yeah.
How about that, Steve?
Knockout of the year.
Oh.
He was gone before he hit the deck.
Oh. Big time.
Yeah.
Well, he told us that's what he does when he goes to the fight. He brings his own referee, and that's exactly what he did. He didn't have to worry about winning on points.
He was no mug either. The other bloke, like the bloke that went down, he was well credentialed.
Yeah,
but the head splitter just near on did split his head. Villains, I've got to give it that all the free-to-air news coverage or lack of about the Opataya fight. He's won a world championship. About Volkanovski yesterday. Now, this I'm talking about down here. I don't know what's going on up your way. But it's as if the free-to-air or the commercial television networks have got a bit of a set against combat sport. They don't want to report them for some reason.
I saw a bit.
You win a world title, you win a world title.
Yeah, here in Sydney, I did see it get a mention on, I'm sure it was Nine last night, both Volkanovski and Opataya.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, different cities and different stations have different editorial staff, so it's up to them, I suppose.
Big tip for today, too, boys.
What do you got?
Cool.
Well, it's Warwick to Beale races today, so it's going to be a great day.
Oh, we need your local knowledge then.
Well, they give it out as a slow seven. If it's not a good four, I'll be very surprised.
Slow seven to a good four.
Well, they give
Jeez, it what's happening there?
Well, no, they've given it out as a slow seven.
Right.
But if it doesn't at least get to a five, if bordering on a four, I'd be very surprised. It's the best training track in the district.
All right, but have you got a winner for us?
Yeah, in the race that we sponsor, the Warwick Motel race seven, the eight. Just have a little each way on the eight.
All right, little each way on the eight.
It's classified.
It is classified,
yep.
Correct.
Okay, so that's race seven, number eight. It's classified, trained by Lindsay Smith, Jared Fry in the saddle with Tab at the moment. It's an $8 chance or $2.30 the place. Something. Thanks, Steve. We'll track that one.
All right. And if we get up, we'll talk tomorrow.
Beautiful.
If we don't, it was nice knowing you.
Did you, by the way, thanks for the call, Steve. Did you cop any, I don't know, stick from anyone, even from across the ditch, the fact that Blocker had won his multi? And
let me tell you a little secret. Let me tell you a little secret. I passed on my multi to the great man.
Oh, here we go.
And he delivered it for me.
Oh, dearie me.
Oh,
so none
that?
Of this, none of this.
We did have this conversation this, before we that. Were on holidays, though. He was going to, he had nothing to do with it unless it won.
Well, I know exactly what the price was. I think it was $13. Clarkie's horse to run top two, New South Wales to win, Burton to score.
Okay, we'll take this up with Blocker on Thursday. Mm. I don't know,
was he coming on, Blocker, is he?
Oh, dear. We've got Bob. Morning, Bob.
Morning, guys. It's good to see a fantasy story being pitched, but what you don't realise is he did it again this weekend. So if you've had it all up, you've got $1,430 for 10 bucks.
So Blocker won again.
Won again, and you don't remember telling him.
Well, I didn't know that. I had nothing to do with the second one.
It's paid $11.
I thought it didn't win.
No, it did win.
It did win. Okay, right. I was told the wrong bet then.
There you go.
Okay.
Wow.
Two from two.
Well, you know what?
He might have to go again this Friday.
Yeah, he's going again Friday.
Mate, that's brilliant. That's not good for
he
you,
took
Loss.
The Panthers to win by less than 14. And then into that the Smith horse in Melbourne, because he realised you don't go betting on wet track. You actually got to do a bit of science involved.
Well, that's exactly right. So well done to the Blocker. He might be my hero.
Well, he's my hero, but my villain will be anybody that doesn't let him kick this week and get to go for a hat trick.
Well, big decision, Bob. But you know what? You've overruled me. I'm going with you. Blocker can have it this weekend.
And make prayers for Leah, okay?
Yes. We saw that. We spoke about it this morning. And thoughts and prayers with the family, and especially Leah.
Yeah.
Tragic incident yesterday. And fingers crossed that everything can be as good as what we're hopefully expecting.
All right, fellas. Have a good day.
No, thanks for the call, Bob. Appreciate it. On the text line here, Hero Mark Hughes Foundation and the NRL, $4 million in funds raised. Villain Steve Smith, his Kyrgios-style dummy spit when run out. Grow up Smithy, Sawtell Steve sending that one through. I tell you what, he didn't like it, did he? Not a good look. Clark, he was just it's very frustrating. I mean,
it's never nice getting run out.
They were both in the middle of the pitch and then... Yeah. Or he's just gone back to where he came.
Oh, man.
Is there a rule? Like, when you...
What are you meant to do there?
Well, yeah, you're supposed to go the more experienced player, the better player. What's the go?
Not really. Run outs are never fun.
Yeah.
No matter how you get run out. But when it feels worse when you when the player's coming, so you look up and you both say yes, so you run, and then the player sends you back. You feel like you get burnt.
Right.
But even still...
But is it, if you get to sort of halfway and then they stop...
Which, there's no rule. Nah. That was a complete mix-up.
Yeah.
There was probably... From the start, there was probably no run. Smitty hesitated at first, then saw Izzy coming. He took off. Then Uzi actually had a look where the fielder was and thought, I can't make this, so he sent Smitty back.
Yeah.
Yeah, complete mix-up. But, yeah, Smitty... Well, Smitty, if anything, should just know the criticism you come under when you've captained Australia or you're in a leadership position. Mm. It always gets looked upon a little bit tougher. And the other thing as well, like... Australia needed Uzi to make runs. They actually needed a partnership and needed Uzi to actually be there to, you know, to set the foundation to get Australia into a good position. And thankfully he did. So that's the hard part. When you do get run out, you got to remember it's a team sport. And you know what? Uzi would have known there and then, geez, I might have burnt Smitty. Now it's important. I've got to go on and make a big score.
Yeah.
So he didn't need to... He didn't mean it. Usman didn't mean to run him out. And that's what I'm saying. I think that's why it probably looked a little worse. And because, you know, Smitty's captain Australia. He's vice captain. He's a senior player. Yeah. He should have disappointment. He could show his disappointment, but he should have just left it there and got off the field. Yeah.
But it's hard, isn't it?
Oh, mate.
It's hard not to show you.
Oh, no. That's why it's hard to talk about because you know the feeling when you get run out.
Yeah.
You watch it and you go, oh, it was a nasty mix up. So I get Smitty's. Frustration. Yeah. And sometimes, again, we're all different. Some people show very little emotion. Some people show a lot. Smitty, in that instance, showed how he felt. And you can't blame
him. But you'd have people being critical of him if he sort of smiled and laughed and went, it was one of those situations. People would be bagging him for celebrating or looking like he was happy.
Talk about. I don't think it makes... You know, Usman Khawaja, a bad person, Steve Smith, a bad person. I just think it's an absolute mix-up, and that's how he reacted in that moment. He probably wishes, you know, I wish I just showed my frustration at the start and then walked off. But it's not a big thing. Those two are great friends. Play on. Mm. I'm happy I wasn't here at the time it happened, and I was on holidays, put it that way. Because you see both sides, you know?
Yeah. Now, Laws, I've got clarification on... Blocker's second multi. It didn't win. Okay?
It didn't win.
His first one won at $13. Now, his second one...
It's on back.
And Ryan Phelan's just clarified this, who sat in the chair for us last week. Blocker had the Roosters plus 15.5.
Yeah.
Tuvalu top two and Tuvalu won, didn't it, on the weekend? And the Raiders minus 3.5. And, of course, they've lost 12-10.
12-10.
So the Raiders had to win by 4 for the multi to get up. It did not win.
Bye bye, Blocker.
One from two.
I'm back, baby.
You
that,
are back.
That lemonade sandwich. It's back.
Yeah. Love Blocker.
We got Andrew.
Like a son.
We got Andrew on the line boarding. Andrew.
Hey guys, how you going?
You know, pretty good, thanks, mate. What do you got for us this morning?
Can't wait to see Blocker on Thursday.
Poor Blocker. My hero is the New Zealand Warriors. Team, the win and the crowd. That was unreal over there.
Spine tingling stuff, wasn't it? Unbelievable.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. It's just so happy for them to be back home playing footy.
Yeah, and I think we've underestimated the impact that it's had on them. We can be critical of how many games they've won and, you know, they've been non-competitive in some games, but you play away from home for 2.5 years, regardless of who you are. And you won't win as many games, I wouldn't have thought. And yet to go back out there and run out in front of 26,000 people, granted, you're not going to get that all the time, but it's an impact. It has an impact on your performance when you're playing at home compared to playing away from home.
Yeah.
What about your villain, Andrew?
I was trying to stay away from it, but Jarrett Sutton had an absolute horror.
The Friday night game, Penrith and the Roosters.
Yeah, so... I don't know your thoughts. There's a few things. Like there was the Crichton thing where the Buzzers come in and going, oh, that was 4 plays back. Let's send him off. There's the Sam Verrills tackle where he's just gone and tackled his legs. And then there's the there's a ball that was thrown late in the game, and he called a penalty because he passed the ball off the ground, but his arm hadn't hit the ground yet, and replays showed that. And Bunker comes in and throws a penalty when there's no penalty, sends a guy off, but can't come in and go, oh, you got that wrong, Jared, change it.
Yeah, no, there were. I think you're not the first person to nominate the Friday night officiating this morning. And yeah, look, I think you make a pretty good point with pretty much all those calls that were made. The one that killed me was the Verrills one in particular, Loz, that tackle.
I don't know how he got that so wrong. I just can't believe that he would have missed it because he saw Verrills go low and. I can't remember who the attacking player was. He just fell over him.
Sorensen, was it?
Sorensen. Mm. He just fell over him. And it was like, well, what's Verrills done wrong? Verrills has done nothing wrong in this situation.
They actually laughed.
He didn't even, like, he didn't go in and drive and pick him up and throw him over on his head. He just sort of went in at the legs. And unfortunately for Sorensen, he got himself in a, what you call a dangerous position, but it didn't warrant a penalty.
No way.
Yeah. The other ones where you see a Jared Wallace being sent to the sin bin on Friday night against Newcastle for that tipping tackle.
Yeah.
And I think he only got two weeks.
Yeah. These, a bad one.
These are tackles that they've got to be harder on. Mm. You've got to be harder on these tackles. These are ones that they need to spend some time on the sideline with because you will do some serious damage to players, and we don't want to see that. And it's avoidable. That's the other thing. It's avoidable. You don't have to go in. You don't have to pick and drive as they do and lift. Because when you lift like they do and they flip them, good luck. Mm. I think they're tackles that we can take out of the game.
Well, not everyone's deserted you, Loz. Apologies, Loz. Third leg didn't fit on the line on the Tab app. Bring back Loz. Yeah.
Any name to that?
No.
Yeah. So, well, that listener is correct because there's an old saying, never doubt or never bag a champion. And my track record suggests...
Are you saying that about yourself?
Yeah.
Or an athlete, according to your Instagram
profile. People are doubting me. I don't know why they doubt me. I'll always come back bigger and harder and better. And well, I've had a break.
I haven't had a punt
for a couple of weeks. I'm ready to go.
I still love this. Queenstown with my queen.
Mm. I had a wonderful weekend away. Tell you what, we bonded really well while we were away.
It's real love, right?
We spoke about the deep issues.
Such as?
Where I was going that day, what I was doing.
How many beers you have?
Are you really happy? Are you sure? Yeah, no, we had a good time, wonderful time there in Queenstown. Then went up to Auckland, had a few discussions, a couple of meetings up there.
Looked at property.
Yeah. I'll see what happens in the next week or
eight
two.
Better. How many years the contract? 3-year deal? You and the Warriors?
Anything under four.
4-year deal. Mm. Yeah, that's fair enough too. You can get out in 12 months if you want. If you get homesick, you just rip your contract up.
When I make a commitment, pup,
you're in.
I make that commitment.
I like it. I can see it, the Warriors.
I'm sticking.
4-year deal, $1 million a year, eight-bedroom palace. Yeah, that sounds okay. Where will you live?
Auckland.
You happy to live there?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool.
Well, Michelle's from there.
Yeah, that's cool. She's 5-acre block.
Oh, no, not a 5-acre.
Don't need that much space?
No, not that much space.
Okay.
I'd go to a little unit. Actually, I might go two. One, a little unit in town and maybe go up the coast somewhere.
Holiday home. A little holiday home. Yeah, it's worth it.
Coaches work long hours.
Yeah, true.
Jason, bring some sanity back, please. Morning to you, mate.
How you going, boys?
Yeah, not too bad.
Going
thanks,
well.
Mate. You got a hero for us?
Yeah, I do, mate. Look, I want to just highlight all the jockeys out there.
Yeah.
You know, like, look, every day, you know, they jump on a horse and a lot of these jockeys, you know, like, they don't have, they have, you know, kids and wives and families at home. And, mate, it can happen at any time, any day. And, you know, these jockeys, they, you know, put their lives at risk, you know, to, you know, for the sport out there. And I personally do have a family member who is a jockey. And, mate, like, just not enough. I don't think not enough credit gets out there on these jockeys. So just want to kind of, like, you know, highlight all the jockeys out there. You're doing well, and, you know, stay safe. And, you know, because a lot of these things, they just, you know, it's out of their hands sometimes. You've seen what happened yesterday, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And, you know, blessing, you know, hope Leah, she pulls through, you know, because it's just an absolute unfortunate, you know, sporting, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but me villain, look, mate, I'll be honest with you, I'm a Dragons fan, but I watched that game before, you know, the Tigers. Mate, I know that there's a lot of controversy around this relegation thing with the NRL and stuff, but, mate, something's got to happen. Like, it's... They're not playing like an NRL club, you know. Like, I only feel sorry for the Tigers fans out there. Mate, you must be banging your head up against the, you know, the wall every week, every time you watch them. I mean, Pup, you would know.
Man, like, frustrating.
Yeah.
I think, like, any sporting team, I think you want to win every game, but you come to a stage where you just want to see your team get better. And I think that is what's frustrating every West Tigers fan, that over a long period of time now, you could nearly say we're going backwards. We haven't gone forwards. And I think the only thing I'll say is at least everyone's seeing now it's not the coach. Like, we've just sacked Madge. Again, another coach gone. It's not the coach. That's not our problem.
Thanks for the call, Jason. Good on you, mate. And well said, particularly about the jockeys and thoughts and prayers, certainly with Leah Kilner this morning. Paddo, morning to you.
Morning, mate. Gerard, I don't know if you remember me, but we had a good yarn down at East Rugby Club the other week.
Yeah. He doesn't remember much, let me tell you.
I remember everything. What are you talking about?
I bet you do.
Gee, what a day that was, Paddo.
Oh, mate, it was good. I was pretty blind, just whispering.
Oh, Mido wasn't.
Hey, Paddo, what was he talking about? Was he rapping himself?
Oh, here we go.
No, I had a few ladies around him.
Oh, shocking.
Oh, really?
Surprise.
That's not true. Come on, Paddo.
I saw him a couple of weeks earlier on Ladies' Day as well, and I had a yarn to him there as well, so I just...
Oh, yeah, no, he likes to hang around those events.
Surprise, you were there on Ladies' Day. Yeah. I can't imagine you going on Ladies' Day at all, you know.
Hey, Paddo, what was he wearing?
I actually can't remember, but he was looking good.
Yeah, right. Number one, of course.
And what about the hair? Was there product in the hair or non-product?
Mate, honestly, I can't even remember.
All right, what about, did he have shades on or off inside?
Shades off.
Mate, you're a shades on man inside.
Mate, you've just gone none from six in trying to hammer me.
Oh, no, I'm going to give you up here. I showed him a photo of that particular day because a mate of mine sent me a photo with him. I said, he goes, who's that? I said, mate, that's you at East Rugby a couple of weeks ago. He goes, all right. True or not true?
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. So he must have had a good weekend.
No, I tell you what, it's a great arvo down there, Paddo.
Yeah, mate, it's unbelievable. I play down there, but down there most arvos.
Now, Paddo, did he sort of bump into you and do the old, get out of my way, mate? No, I'm Jared Middleton. No? How did the conversation sort of occur? What happened? Run me through it.
I was pretty drunk, and I kept whispering in his ear, I'm a big BSB fan. I go, where's Loz and Pup?
Yeah, where were they?
I was at Randwick.
It'd be nice if they could lift.
Well, you might be our correspondent for Mido Watch.
Yeah, our source.
Yeah, mate.
Yeah, keep an eye on him.
Yeah. You might be able to be his wingman at some stage, Paddo.
Paddo, I was going to say one thing we do know: he is a ladies' man. So, mate, are you single?
I've got what?
Are you single, Paddo?
No, I'm not. Unfortunately.
Well, then stay away from him. He'll only get you in trouble. But tell the single boys, if you see Mido, definitely go and have a beer with him.
Mate, there's a few running around and he's struggling.
Oh, I can only imagine him highfaluting down there and carrying on.
Paddo, spooking, big mate. I'm noting. Sorry that your core got hijacked by these two Muppets.
Oh, dear me.
But did you have a hero in Villain Villains?
Yeah, I did. The Wallabies winning against England with 14 men.
Yeah, good. Look, they had some adversity, didn't they?
Yeah, that Tom Banks, he pretty much exploded his elbow, and Alan Alatoa knocked out, and then they got that pretty soft red card, and they did pretty well to beat an England team who they've lost eight in a row against. So it's good to see them get up, actually, after all the other Aussies that have won on the weekend. I thought that was a bit of a highlight as well.
Yeah, it's a good win. What about your villain?
Mate, I heard you guys talking about the refs and stuff against the Roosters and the Panthers game, but there was a call in the Parra game when Isaiah Papali'i just pushed Lachlan Ilias and he got penalised and put on a report for dangerous contact.
Oh, yeah. Ridiculous.
That was absolutely ridiculous. Yeah.
Billy Slater said they're just making things up, and I tend to agree. Yeah. Like Ben Cummins and Sutton, like, come on. Like, they're supposed to be the best refs in the game, and, you know, they're pretty soft calls, to be honest.
Paddo, totally agree, mate, and thanks so much for the call, and hopefully see you down there at that fantastic club very soon, mate. Appreciate it. We've got to get to the news. I'm extremely late. Yesterday in the AFL, GWS, they beat Hawthorn in the slosh there at Giant Stadium by 22 points. Irishman Callum Brown, he kicked 4 goals. By the way, it emerged too yesterday that, James Hurd, who's been helping out there in, an assistant coaching capacity at the moment at the Giants, won't be a coaching candidate. And he very much heard through his support behind Mark McVeigh, who is helping there at the Giants at the moment, who's 3-3 since he took over, to take over full-time. And he's expected to present to the Giants board there within the next month or so. So it's gone pretty well, McVeigh, since he took over the top job, but still the Giants, 5 wins, 10 losses over the season so far. The Swans, where are the Swans now after that loss to Essendon? They're right in 8th. And St Kilda had a win against Carlton over the weekend. So St Kilda, the Swans and Richmond all on 36 points. Richmond are 7th, the Swans 8th, St Kilda 9th, with only percentage separating them. But, that was a bad loss, I thought, from the Swans. They were 16 points up, loss heading into the final quarter. And in the third quarter, they missed so many goals. Kicked plenty of behinds, and it was just a game that got away from them. I just think that's going to be costly. Certainly now their top four hopes, they're up against it. They're 2 wins out of the top four. So it's not done and dusted by any stretch, but they're going to need to go on a serious run between now and the end of the season.
I don't know, Mido. And they'll deny it, both clubs, I would assume. But the Luke Parker incident earlier in the year, I'm sure that would have had a major impact in this game, because basically he was calling them soft. Well, he called Dylan Shield soft, and, you know, once a slur like that is sort of put on a team, you know, you'd sit there and you'd talk about it as a playing group in the lead up to that game about, you know, this is what they really think of us. Well, let's go out there and really stick it to them and be hard at the contest and, you know, get under their skin where we can. And I don't know. I just think that you always talk about doing things that can come back and bite you on the bum. I reckon if he had his time over again, Luke Parker wouldn't have sort of done that action earlier in the season to Dylan Shields, where he went up to him and was like going, ooh, that was a bit hard, you know, and mocking him. Both clubs will say, I didn't impact the result of the game, but I reckon it impacted the way that Essendon prepared for that contest.
Well, it did in the last quarter in particular, where their contested possession stat, I think they had 21 more in the
last
quarter.
Coach probably reminded them at three-quarter time about what the Swans think of them. And again, you know, you only need a little bit as a coach and you can take a mile. You can take it a mile. You know, and you play on it, and I reckon it came back to bite them on the bum.
Still, the Swans, if they kick straight in the third quarter, they win the game. They kicked 2 goals, 8 in the third quarter. Should have run away with it.
Yeah, but still, you know, pressure, all that type of stuff that the Bombers were applying. So that's as good a win as they've had this season, the Bombers.
Mossy, how are you?
Well, I'm good. You guys are sounding fresh. My voice is a bit dusty, so you'll have to forgive me. And it's not alcohol-induced, Loz, before you go there.
But, shame.
Is he that predictable?
How was the seat feeling this morning? A little bit hotter after last week? A few different people sitting in your seats?
I haven't sat in mine.
Pup's been up and about. Who sat on the far right, Mossy?
That was Jamie Rogers.
Oh, right. No worries.
How was my chair, Mossy? Were you comfy?
Wait, they didn't have one in there, Clarky. They said,
oh, yeah, because I stand.
For 3 hours.
Yeah, I like to stand. I'm burning calories while I work. But, mate, you're welcome here anytime, buddy. This microphone, this chair, it's yours anytime you like.
Thank you, mate. You've got my back. I know you do.
Always, brother. Always. Speaking of backs, Ronaldo hasn't got Man United. He wants out.
Oh dear, dear, dear! This is going to be a headline after headline after headline. This one, he said, if there's any reasonable offers, define a reasonable offer.
Sydney FC? Does he mean there?
Wouldn't that be nice? Oh, be stupid to see him in the A League, but no, I don't envisage that. What? Look, outside looking in, Clarkie, he's dominated the EPL, he's dominated La Liga,
yeah.
He's dominated Italy. I would imagine he'd be thinking, well, time to, he wants Champions League football. He's been in the Champions League, I think, every season since 2002 or 3. Man United are in the Europa League, the second tier of European club football, obviously. So I reckon he's going to be looking to Germany or possibly France with PSG. Imagine that, lining up with Messi and Mbappe. But I think Germany might be calling.
I'm assuming with Messi, and again, Mossy, you know, he's worth whatever you can get, but he'll be prepared to sacrifice some of that to play with a good club and play in a team that's going to compete for the Champions League. Is that right?
Messi or Ronaldo?
Ronaldo.
You mean? Yeah, yeah. Look, I don't know. Look,
or does he just go to the highest bidder? What do you?
How would you know? How would you know? Like, the amount of money that Mo Salah's on now, like, and was on, and he's just re-signed with Liverpool for $621,000 a week. It's a different stratosphere for these guys. So, you know, you wouldn't think money would come into it, but unfortunately the number of zeros does play into the ego. And, you know, when other players are earning a certain amount, then maybe that plays a part in negotiations as well.
I know that Ronaldo's a revered figure at United, but is this not necessarily the worst thing for the club, for him to leave? I mean, this club needs a complete rebuild.
You know, I'm with you, mate. I think he scored 24 goals last season, right? Which people will look at and go, well, without him, they would have scored 24 goals less. I'm not sure about that. I think he made them a worse side because it all revolved around one player, really. And look, they were anus horribilis. Let's face it, they've been terrible since Sir Alex Ferguson left. So they do need a bomb in the place. They need to completely rebuild, which is something that major clubs like that in the world shouldn't have to do. You sure as have succession planning, and it shouldn't be a major rebuild, but it is at Manchester United. So I think him leaving would be a good thing for the club.
Closer to home, and Milos Ninkovic is set to go to the Wanderers on at least a one-year deal. So what have you made of this and how this has transpired?
Well, this is really interesting. I'll tell you what, if you look at the glass half full, the Sydney Derby has just got a whole lot spicier.
Yep.
That's a great thing for the league and for the Sydney Derby because, you know, we've gone from having 50, 60, 70,000 people at the Sydney Derby to having sort of 25 in the last couple of years. So I think that will add a real dynamic to the Sydney Derby. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't very surprised. But I know Milos as a person, a family man, and I know that he would have been so conflicted in his mind to start with about whether to stay at Sydney or not. And obviously this will impact his legacy. There's no doubt about that at Sydney FC, but he's a very, very good human being, Milos, and I know he would have thought long and hard about this decision. He'll have his own reasons. Can't be critical of that, but yeah, it's going to be very strange seeing him in anything other than a sky blue jersey.
Now, I saw that Taylor Ray did her ACL at training with the Matildas, and Sydney FC coach Ante Juric has essentially had a crack at the Matildas staff and their failure to understand player welfare. Does he have a point?
Look, yes, I think from the outside looking in, obviously I wasn't there mid-day, so I'm not privy to it all, but from the outside looking in, yes, I do think Ante has a point because there were a bunch of players who were put out in a game against Spain that were clearly not at the physical level or maturity level to handle that sort of opposition. Spain are just about to kick off for the Women's Euros this week. They're at the peak of their powers. We had some players coming in from NPL, which is state league, to play because obviously the W League, the A League Women's is not in season at the moment. So to put players in that environment, and there's other things around the conditions, which I won't go into because I'm not privy to them. It's just hearsay. But things like long bus trips straight into a physical training session and things like that. So I think there needs to be a review on a number of levels. Not just that, but also you know, why were we taking on Spain in their final preparation for the Euros when we didn't have any of our key players available for this? Sorry, there was a couple, like Emily Van Egmond, Polkinghorne, were two that I can think off the top of my head. They played. But there's a list, a laundry list of other top star Matildas that weren't available for this camp. So why were we playing Spain and Portugal? It just doesn't add up as good preparation for a World Cup when we're getting to the pointy end.
Talking of that, Mossy, and you know we did have girls missing. That's fine. But in your mind, have we gone backwards?
Well, yes, and it's not just in my mind, Loz. The statistics prove it. If you count all the way back to when Alan Stajic was controversially sacked, the Matildas haven't gone forward in any way, shape, or form, and we're just about to host a World Cup on home soil. So there's some serious leadership and decision making that needs to happen to make sure we are on track. And I'm sure that's going on behind the scenes, but you need to see it on the pitch because otherwise there'll be a lack of confidence from the sporting public going into this World Cup, and we can't afford that.
Great to speak to you on a Monday, Mossy. Thank you.
Always a pleasure. I caught up with our good friend Robbie Slater for a beer late last week. He's in fine form, good spirits. Misses the show already.
Do we believe him?
What are you laughing for?
Yeah, I believe him. I think he misses parts. Or there might be a few parts that he doesn't miss, though. Like feedback from our listeners, some of our listeners.
The question is, are our listeners missing him?
Definitely.
In fact, just before you go, Mossy, you got a quick question on the text line. Can you ask Mossy if the rumours are true that Melbourne Victory are close to signing ex-United star Nani Shire Raz?
Well, I believe the smoke is getting a little bit warmer towards the flame on that one. So watch this space. The other one, of course, is Test Fabregas. Now, there is strong mail that he is going to sign for Dwight York at MacArthur Bulls, the former Arsenal superstar. So, therein lies the strength of getting a Dwight York in for the A-League. He can attract those sort of players, whether it's Cesc Fabregas or someone else. I'm pleased to hear some of the names that are starting to be floated about because we need some bling, we need some stardust in the A-League.
Now, there's a trio. Clark, Fabregas and York.
Easy.
Around the MacArthur region, down around your old digs, Clarky. You can show Cesc Fabregas.
I'll show him the town. I'll show
some
him
of your great old haunts.
And I'll give him a look at Hoxton Park Road back in the heyday. Green Valley Pub. Honestly, take him there for a beverage.
That would be an outstanding signing, though. If you can get Fabregas.
Throw a former West Indies batsman in there and you've got an incredible quadruplet.
Well, if Dwight's coming, BC Lara will be here, that's for sure. That is a given.
Good stuff, boys. Have a good day.
Good on you. Dave Stanley coming up shortly. Right, we've got to give a winner out for Heroes and Villains. And thanks for all the texts and calls as always this morning. It was a hot field. Photo finish.
What'd you go for?
Ted. Teddy good on boy. You, Ted. Was at the fight and made Jai Opetaia his hero.
Tedro.
And his villain were the Friday night decisions in the Penrith Roosters games. And there are a few of them that were, they were very poor. Happy to have that as the villain this Monday morning.
Would you rather be a ref or a coach? Who gets criticised more, you reckon? Coach gets paid more.
No, you'd rather be a coach.
Would you rather be a coach?
Yeah, you'd rather be a coach.
Okay, just a question. Don't get angry. I'm just asking you a question.
Nah, coach for sure.
Okay.
Would you like to be a?
No, I wouldn't like
ref?
To be. I wouldn't like to be either.
No,
I definitely wouldn't be an umpire. Definitely not.
You can imagine you being an umpire.
No way. If it hits you on the pads, out. I'd start with my finger up. I'd be a horrible umpire. Test match wouldn't go 5 days.
What type
either.
Of umpire would you be? Would you would you be a chummy with the players? Or would you keep a distance?
I think I wouldn't.
Well, like, you know, when you talk to the players and all that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be a school teacher. No
you
way.
Wouldn't be, yeah.
I'd like, are you there all day with the players? I'd
yeah,
be talking.
Yeah,
I'd be talking
it?
To the bowler as he's walking back to his mark or the guy at mid off or mid on. If you're at square leg, you're talking to the guy beside you, definitely.
You'd have to find something to do, wouldn't you?
Mate, it's a long day watching the grass grow.
Nah. I know as a player you can sort of drift and look out into the crowd, but as an umpire you probably can't, can you?
Well, you can still, yeah, you still.
Would you?
Yeah.
Well, you would.
Yeah. Seeing who's turned up to the ground and a few of your mates.
I gave
in town.
Few tickets away, where are we?
Couple of high fives on the way off. Couple of old school friends, you know, give you four tickets away.
Cousins.
Couple of cousins. Yep. Mm. Couple of Dave Stanley's friends. Where is DS? Is DS here today?
You were cheeky this morning.
Is he in
town? First day back.
You Lozzie's winding us.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway.
Yeah, umpiring's not for me. But neither's coaching.
Nah, exactly.
Wound right. You up last night.
Oh, no. No, I had a good night's sleep last night. Mm. I was prepping away. I was excited to be in here. I've missed my mates. I missed you when I was away.
Dave, listen to this. Morning to you, mate. How are you?
Yeah, very, very good, boys. That'd be interesting to see you. Actually, what would be the worst umpire you could be in the world?
Well, any sport.
Any sport. What do you think you'd... I had to laugh. I was watching the Kyrgios highlights on Stan, and like they were all blown up about the way he was talking to the umpire. I mean, these are the same pommies that watch their EPL sides. Like the way those
soccer,
players talk,
soccer umpire referee would be horrible because
the
just
way
get
they
abused.
Go up, I don't know. What do you reckon would be? Would it be soccer that would be the worst umpire to be?
Yeah, where you, I reckon you're right like there, you Dave. Yeah, not only do the crowd give it to you, but the players get in your face and have
right in your face.
That's what I mean. Like if there's a yellow card or something, they're right up in front of you. And anyway.
I'd want to be baseball. Baseball, you can actually, like, you give them a massive spray.
Yeah, but like in baseball, you can be an intimidator as an umpire because you look bigger with all that gear on.
The umpire gives him a serve.
Yeah.
The umpire walks up to the player and just, you're out. Just gives it to them right in their face. That'd be good.
And you can eject people from
the game. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, and I do reckon you have to be cut with a special cloth to be like your cricket umpire or something, Clarkie, because how do you, that concentration? Mate, like, how did Buck just stay awake half the time? Or maybe he wasn't.
The more I think about it now. How does anyone stand in the field for that long? What was I thinking? Now when I watch the game, it's like, at least you go to the fridge or you get a drink or you turn off for a bit and talk to your mates. What was I doing for the 35 years?
Mates, cut from a special cloth. You have to be. Man. And even I remember mates you'd grow up with. I'm sure this is the same for you guys, where even they just play their, like, you know, their local cricket. And I remember half the time we'd go out on a Friday night and they'd all be just checking the radar, praying it rained. Just praying. And I say to them, I say, why are you playing the sport if you're just hoping it's cancelled every week? Oh, you
play
know.
Play for the win. When you win, that feeling when you win, it's like no other.
Unbelievable. Hey, how about those Dragons yesterday, Loz?
We were robbed.
Oh, please.
It should have been a penalty every day of the week.
Well, you know, you win some, you lose some, mate.
If that was you, Dave, you'd be on here this morning.
Mate, I'd
it should have been a penalty.
I'd be off my head.
I'll tell you what, though. Ben Hunt is having his best year. Jesus,
well,
playing good.
Do you reckon, so Chris O'Keefe, he is a mad dragon. That's Yvonne O'Keefe or Yvonne Sampson's hubby. He put out the tweet, and yes, he's got Dragons colours in his eyes, but he's suggesting that maybe... And he was tipping me him earlier in the year, Ben Hunt to win the Dally M, if he keeps the format. What do you think about that, Loz?
Big chance.
I reckon he's a big chance.
He's up there at the moment.
As well as
the
Dragons can win a few games towards the end of the year. I mean, when they win, invariably he's their best player. And even when they've been losing, he's been able to pick up a few points, I would suggest. So I don't think he's a rough chance anymore. I think he'd be a serious contender.
Yeah, okay. All right. I like it. Now, boys, obviously we had some awful stuff, an awful racing incident happened yesterday at Grafton to kickstart their Grafton Carnival. So the racing games are very flat this morning, as it should be. Leah Kilner is still in hospital. We're still waiting for more news to come out of Brisbane and the PA there about what her situation is. This morning on Punters Postmortem, though, we've got Ray Thomas, Mitch Cohen and Michael Maxworthy. We're going to touch on not only Leah's situation, but we'll touch on the small amount of races we had there in Sydney, plus Caloundra. And because, obviously, we've now had the main Group 1s of the racing season done and dusted, we're going to open up the lines today and basically try and get the punters involved. What was their best moment? What was their best Group 1 moment of the season? And what are they looking forward to for the Spring Carnival ahead? So looking forward to today's punters post-mortem. And our 11 o'clock Monday's Experts Chat too, guys, is with Christian Buchanan there from Wong. So, boys, enjoy your Monday. Stay dry. It is very gnarly weather out there. I can't believe the amount of wind and just craziness. So wherever you are listening to this across, especially Sydney and those flooding areas, please stay safe. The boys will be back tomorrow from 5:30 on the Big Sports Breakfast. Here's Jamie with those latest news headlines. Don't go anywhere. Punters Post-Mortem's next.